And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show, this one. Woo, I mean, goes from, like, Huntsville back over to Chattanooga. I'm talking about from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I mean, all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn. Straight across the line from there to Fort Benning, and then big old patches of North Georgia, Mississippi, all thrown in, just for good measure. And then, oh, by the way, that's just the radio. Then there's all y'all in the whole wide world going to the World Wide Web and logging in and live streaming the show every single day on X, YouTube, Rumble, Facebook, and our website, rightsidemedia.org. And then all you podcasters who catch it after the fact. Listen, here's the bottom line. We love you. We appreciate you no matter where you catch this show. We can see the numbers. We know you're there. Thank you very much for that. You're the reason why this show has existed. And it makes my day to come in here and, you know, be a part of the Ruffian family for a few hours with you every day. All right, there's that. Let's go ahead and jump on into segment number dos. This is Friday afternoon. This is a time when halfway through hour number two, we set aside the usual politics and culture talk, and we jump on into a round of JP on sports. My man JP is indeed a guru on all things sports, on all sports, really. And, oh, by the way, he's got the best sound effect of all for his segment, courtesy of Sorority Girls at Auburn. Hit it, man.
JP on sports!
Yeah, and he smiles every time he plays that.
What can I say?
So JP on sports has two segments. We have the first one's called the three and out, top three stories as he sees it. We come back from the next one is the two-minute warning. I got a timer and a buzzer. Take it away, man.
It is that time once again. It's week one of college football.
Whoop, whoop.
We had week zero last week, which kind of teased us, but this is the main week one. This is the real week one. We got some big games this weekend. Well, first starting tonight, Auburn versus Baylor is tonight. But then we got tomorrow, Alabama at FSU, Florida State, LSU at Clemson, and then one of the biggest week one opener games I can think of, Texas versus Ohio State, which is number one versus number three. Out of conference game as well. You don't see those very often. So this is a big weekend of college football to kick off the season. There was a big story, though, earlier this week. So apparently, you know, YouTube TV, which is becoming, it's eventually going to outpace cable, which it may be at that point already. But they announced earlier this week that there may be a little hiccup this weekend because apparently YouTube TV or Google and Fox was not able to reach an agreement and that games may be blacked out on YouTube TV that would be on Fox for college football this upcoming weekend if they couldn't reach a deal by Wednesday.
Wow.
To which all of the college football fans in unison said, but I can say Google said Wednesday that they have reached a short-term agreement in the meantime to avert this crisis, which it would have been a big crisis, and that they're going to be maintaining these football games on YouTube TV in the meantime until they reach a longer-term deal.
But so that's the hallelujah sound effect there. It's got to be.
That is.
There it is.
That is the hallelujah sound effect. But yeah, crisis averted, thank God. But hopefully they can come to YouTube TV. They, I don't know what it is with them. They still can't play any Braves games on YouTube TV because Bally Sports and them, they can't reach an agreement. So they seem to be a hard negotiating partner. But alas, in the meantime, like I said, hallelujah, crisis averted. And we can watch these great games. And Auburn Baylor tonight wouldn't have been able to be watched on YouTube TV. But yeah, I'm very excited about this week one games. I will say, I think the Alabama FSU game is a lot of scary things if you're an Alabama fan in this game. I will say Alabama's going into this game dinged up. Jam Miller will not be playing in this game. He won't be back until Georgia, they expect. It was also announced this week that Tim Keenan, a returner on the defensive side, defensive tackle, which you could make the case is one of the best players on this team, is having tightrope surgery on his ankle. He won't be back until Georgia at least. And then Jaden Roberts, right tackle, he will be playing from concussion protocol, but he probably won't be starting. But I don't know. You add the injuries up on the fact that we're playing, Alabama's playing at FSU, rain game, and Gus Malzahn, who is the OC for Florida State, which we've seen what he's done to Alabama defenses in the past. Going up against a dual threat quarterback, it's going to be scary down in Tallahassee, I must say. So we'll see.
Where's your Auburn-Baylor predictions?
Auburn's going to win against Baylor tonight. Come on. Y'all should.
Maybe I should have asked.
It really shouldn't be. It really shouldn't be. Auburn's got by far the better roster. They are going into Baylor, but you know, like I said, I'm interested to see how Jackson Arnold plays to start the season, but roster versus roster, Auburn's by far got the better team, so they should win handedly, but we'll see.
You know, I'm not going to take too much of your time here, but it's funny to me that both Auburn and Alabama had away games for their first games.
Yeah, it's interesting. I think they're supposed to be home and home. I think FSU should be coming to Alabama next year to start. But yeah, it's no cupcakes to start in the SEC. Texas going to Ohio State too, defending national champs. It's not easy. All right, the SEC, they play hard.
But you know what? And we should.
Yeah.
If we're going to stay, we're the best. We got to be the best. Right?
Exactly. Yes.
All right, that's one. What's two?
So looks like the UFC at the White House, according to Dana White, is officially on, because yesterday Dana White flew up to the White House and apparently met with Donald Trump and Ivanka Trump to talk logistics. And he went on Instagram Live on the private jet coming back to Vegas from D.C. He went on there to announce other fights, but he said on there that apparently the UFC at the White House is a done deal. I guess the agreement has been signed, and 4th of July next year, there will apparently be a UFC event at the White House. There is the logistical issues. They're trying to have it on the front lawn, but apparently, according to Dana White, that the octagon weighs about 2 tons and is way, way, way more than what the front lawn can handle in terms of weight capacity.
Wow.
So I don't know what their way around that is going to be. But, I mean, apparently it's a done deal. They figured it out. So I'm very interested to see if this is actually going to come to fruition, because this is a logistical nightmare, in my opinion. I mean, Dana is – he's known for looking for challenges like this. He just put on a fight at the Sphere, which costed – tons of money and was seemed impossible logistically, but he pulled that off. So this seems like something that Dana has his mindset to pull off, but it also is another interesting conversation. I think we've had this conversation before on air about is this a good thing? Is this making the White House into like this
the theater of the absurd almost?
Theatrical show, which, I mean, Donald Trump is the president. I mean, he's known for, you know, having theatrics like this.
And it's the people's house.
It is the people's house. But it is sort of a, you know, do we want the White House to become this sort of thing, you know, of like a theatrical events of, you know, some may see it like human cockfighting on the front lawn of the White House.
Human cockfighting.
So I don't know. I'm just interested to see, like I said, how they pull this off and who they're going to allow to go there. It's going to be like a very limited crowd for sure to go to the White House to watch a UFC event. But like I said, apparently Donald Trump and Dana White worked it out, and it's going to happen. So we'll see.
Oh, wow. That's crazy. But okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's figure it out. What's number three?
All right. So we had a big, big announcement in the FBI, the NFL. It's on FBI notification right when I said that. It's the FBI. From the NFL, Micah Parsons has been traded to the Green Bay Packers from the Cowboys. And this is a big story. Okay. Well, first of all, Jerry Jones is the most popular NFL owner in the NFL. But he's also very controversial, because some people are wondering if it's time for him to let go of his control of the Cowboys, because he tends to screw things up like this from time to time. But apparently, you know, there was a beef between Micah and Jerry Jones. Jerry Jones had made some comments that, you know, Micah, he didn't want to play very much, and he would let injuries, you know, take over. He wasn't very tough, and, you know, Micah kind of shot back, and apparently behind the scenes there were contract negotiations that were turning sour, and then Micah Parsons came out and himself requested a trade on Twitter from the Cowboys, which was big news.
Wow.
There was a lot of people who thought, yeah, well, the Cowboys, there's no need to trade him. You know, they got him under contract. That's probably not going to happen. But alas, yesterday it was announced that Micah Parsons was traded to the Packers, and was actually signed a new contract with the Packers for 4 years, $188
million. $188 million in 4 years.
Yes. And I'm pulling up the exact trade details here.
I mean, looking at $40-something million dollars a year.
Yeah. And the Cowboys received Kenny Clark in return and 2 first-round picks for Micah Parsons. So this is a big deal. But like I said, I think it's a bigger deal than just the trade. It is sort of, if you're a Cowboys fan, you got to feel a little bit of Jerry. Come on, man. Like, we got to make this. This Micah Parsons is the best pass rusher in the NFL, you could argue. And Jerry Jones traded him away because negotiations behind the scenes, they just couldn't come to a deal. It's like, you got to figure, like, this is your guy. Micah Parsons and Dak Prescott, those are the two Cowboys superstars. You got to find a way to keep them. And if it's just for simply, you know, contract negotiations, and Jerry Jones' ego is not letting him, you know, talk to Micah or whatever, or maybe vice versa, or a little bit of both from both sides, It's like, come on, man. You know, this isn't the 1970s, 1960s where you can make a contract on a handshake, which is what Jerry Jones said they had. He goes, we had a handshake agreement. It's like, well, this is 2025. There's a little bit more than a handshake agreement here. So I don't know. If there's any Cowboys fans out there that are ruffians that want to chime in and let us know what you think, I think this is a disaster that Jerry Jones let this happen.
Okay, so I'm looking at this right now. How long has he been in the NFL now? 4 years, 5 years, 6 years?
Something like that.
He was at Penn State in 2018. I mean, how much more time has he got in the NFL in his prime? I mean, he's probably got 4 or 5 years, I would think.
So he's been in the NFL for 4 years. He can't be that old. I would assume he's got a good – he's 26 years old. So he's got a good bit of his prime left. I mean, okay. You're letting one of the premier pass rushers on your team, you know, walk over something like this. It's nuts. But, you know, we'll see. Jerry Jones, he's not going to relinquish his control of the Cowboys on his own. Somebody would have to – push him out. You know,
halfway through the season, Jerry Jones is either going to be he's going to be the goat, or he's going to be like a goat rodeo. He's going to be one or the other.
Yes, that's true.
All right, is that three? We're already at three. All right, that's the first round of JP on Sports. We're going to come right back with the second round, which is called the 2 minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer, and he's got all the stories at 2 minutes each. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, just making common sense like a superpower. All right, round two of JP on Sports. It's called the 2 minute warning. I've got a stopwatch and a buzzer. 2 minutes. Go, dude.
So this story from OutKick today is pretty crazy. So if y'all remember the swimmer Leah Thomas, the guy who pretended to be a girl, I believe he was actually the one that beat Riley Gaines in the swimming match.
I think so.
I believe.
Once.
But so apparently OutKick is released an exclusive today that apparently ESPN was being reached out to from other Virginia Tech swimmers about Leah Thomas, and the ESPN intentionally ignored them and refused to cover the story.
Wow.
So apparently reporter Heather Deinich, which I believe she's been pretty vocal on liberal issues before, Jade Bullock, and then executive Faith Celeste McCarthy, they all three were directly reached out to by female athletes who were among the first to voice their concerns about Thomas. And like this OutKick article says, ESPN directly ignored them. And when OutKick reached out to these people at ESPN, you can imagine that they declined to comment. But this is another example of just ESPN, you know, being extremely woke. But they're in a position where it's one thing not to cover the story, like if you see it happening and you're ignoring it. It's another thing when girls who are reaching out to you because you have a platform, ESPN is the sports platform that can amplify this problem and hopefully get some help, and they're directly ignoring you. That is shameful, in my opinion, because like I said, it's more than just, you know, people say Riley Gaines was jealous that she got fifth in that race, and now she's just trying to get attention to herself and, you know, grifting off of the fact that she was a bad swimmer or something. Like these are girls who are in locker rooms with Leah Thomas or whatever his guy name was, and are in vulnerable situations with him. So this is a cry for help, and ESPN intentionally ignored it. So like I said, extremely shameful, and just another example, unfortunately, ESPN using his platform to be woke instead of common sense.
And there's a time. It's a perfect time. All right, let me reset the clock. Well, that was amazing. Go.
Mark Teixeira, who is a very popular former baseball player. He had a stint with the Braves, but is mainly known for his time with the Yankees. He announced that he's running for Congress in Texas. He said, as a lifelong conservative who loves this country, I'm running for Congress to fight for the principles that make Texas and America great. So this is a big news. You know, I don't know what his competition will be like in the field there in Texas, but it's cool when you see former athletes like this that you enjoyed watching come out. I mean, it's even more enjoyable when they're a conservative and they come out and run for Congress. But you know, he's in a position, he doesn't need to do this. You know, he's got plenty of money. He can just chill out in Texas and not throw his hat in politics at all. But we've seen it with you know, Herschel Walker, and unfortunately he did not win. But you know, these are guys that, you know, they're comfortable. They live comfortable lives, and they're choosing to throw their hat in the ring and open themselves up to the world of politics, which is not fun, to try to help, you know, their community. So I think this is awesome, you know, and I'm rooting for Mark Teixeira. Like I said, I don't know what his field is like, how far he'll make it down the road, but I'd like to see more of this. If athletes, you know, past their careers, instead of just, you know, being comfortable, they're actively, you know, involved in politics and trying to make their community even better. So I think this is great. This is good news.
Right here in Alabama, we had and he got out around the same time I did, Rich Wingo. Rich Wingo was a All-American at Alabama, and then he played for the Green Bay Packers. He lives in Tuscaloosa now, but he was a state representative same time I was. Just a great guy, one of the most conservative members of the state house, Rich Wingo. And yeah, I love seeing people who could set aside, who set aside their opportunity for comfort, and realize they've been given a platform and they go do something good with it.
And also Derek Dooley, the ex-Tennessee coach, is running for Senate in Tennessee as well. So that's another example.
And hit the buzzer. There you go. All right. Reset the clock. 2 minutes. Go.
Well, so we saw a big win. Tommy Fleetwood last weekend, who has not won a PGA Tour event in his career. He, I think, had the record for most runner-up finishes without a win in the PGA Tour at that time. So he had been trying to get the monkey off his back. Early on in the FedEx Cup playoffs, he lost in a playoff to Justin Rose, and that would have been his first win. But he got his first win, and it's for the FedEx Cup Championship. I think that's pretty good, and I think he's probably happy that that was his first one. So that was a big way to cap off the PGA Tour season. But now all eyes go to the Ryder Cup, which later in September, I think middle of September, we'll be seeing the U.S. and European teams go head-to-head once again. I love the Ryder Cup. It is so awesome because, you know, there's a passion from these guys that are, you know, rivals on the PGA Tour, you know, season, but then they go and now they're playing for their country, and just the fans are so much more into it. The players, the golfers are, you know, amped up like they aren't, not like they are in the PGA, you know, from week in, week out. The stakes are high, and there was a lot of people who thought that Keegan Bradley may become the first playing captain since Arnold Palmer in 1963, but he did not pick himself to be on the team. So the captains normally don't play, you know, they're kind of picking pairings and they're overseeing it all. They're kind of like the coach. But he had an opportunity. He could have picked himself, but he did not pick himself. But the USA still got a great team. You know, Bryson DeChambeau, Scottie Scheffler, Xander Schauffele. It's going to be a great team for USA, but they got to go up against guys like Rory McIlroy, John Rahm. So I'm very excited to watch it. You know, like I said, it's every 4 years, I believe, Ryder Cup. So it's going to be a fun watch for sure.
It struck me a minute ago, you were genuinely excited when you started talking about
it. It's awesome. It's such so a great thing to watch. You know, it's the passionate of, you know, playing for your country is awesome.
Hit me the buzzer. There you go. All right. We got time for one more. How are we doing? We got it.
I believe we
got
some time. Well, like I said, you know, Dana White yesterday, he had some big announcements. You know, announcing the UFC at the White House was officially on, but he also had some fight announcements of Madison Square Garden, which they go to Madison Square Garden every year in November, which is kind of funny. New York used to have them banned. They were like the last state to have the UFC banned, but now they go there every year. It's kind of like a smack in the face to the people who banned them for all that time. But it's always a great card, a big card. Islam Makhachev will be moving up to 170 to fight for the belt against Jack Della Maddalena. Jack Della Maddalena, Australian fighter.
You just made that up.
I did not. Australian fighter, so he can take his time away from fighting the kangaroos and actually fighting in the other guy, I guess, Islam Makhachev.
Kangaroos.
But yeah, it's a great, exciting card there. There may be some other huge fight announcements coming on later this year that we're waiting for Dana White from. But yeah, it's great cards announced. And that on top of the UFC, you know, we got a call in from Tom with All the Kids talking about he's not a big fan of the UFC or, you know, the commercialization of the White House, which I think is a very interesting conversation. Maybe a conversation we're having more and more as we get closer to it. But nonetheless, it will be a fun watch at the White House, I will say.
Absolutely. All right. Well, listen, do we have time for overtime? Or
that's
you,
it. Y'all, music's about to play.
Music's about to play. Good job, JP on sports. I always get a kick out of just the fact that, I mean, you'll bring up things about sports that I've never heard of before. But then again, that's because you're JP on sports. Because sorority girls know who you are.
I guess so, yeah.
Hey, coming up next, we got a surprise guest. State Senator Chris Elliott's going to call in. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.